Okay, welcome, good afternoon, everybody, to our special, like Rebbetzin Fuchs said, Shovarim Shir at the Ohel Sarah Main Group. As always, the Shiurim that emanate from this home are dedicated to Ilui Nishmas, Sarah Yuta, Allah HaShalom, Masafrayim Menachem Mendel, Vadina Martin Sheyichyu, her neshama should have an everlasting aliyah and the merit of our Torah. It should also be a zchus refuah shalema for Chaya Rezel, Bas Dina, Besoch Sha'ar Chole Yisrael. The Torah should be a zchus for only Simchas, Besoros Tovos, and Refuos. So, Shovavim is an acronym. Somebody actually said to me, you're speaking today at the Megav. I said, yeah, 1 o'clock. What's the occasion? I said, Shovavim Shir. What's Shovavim? So, it's not so necessarily always well known what it stands for. It's really just an acronym. Shmos Va'era Bo Vishalach Yisro Mishpatim. Shovavim Tat Truma Titzava. So, it really takes you, it's a journey through the book of Shmos. That's all that Shovavim stands for. Shin Vav Vez Vez Yod Mem. It's the beginning parashios of the book of Shmos. This week's parasha, of course, we open up not only Sefer Shmos, but we open up with Parsha Shmos, and it's the first of the weeks of Shovavim. There are very often classes in regard to the Inyan or the topic, the halachos of Taras HaMishpacha. During this time, it is a time when we strengthen the Jewish home and the Jewish marriage. That's what the topic of Shovavim is. So the first question is, why during this time? Like, why not during Bereishis Noach, Lecha Vayecha, Yisar Todos Vayetzi, and you make a different acronym, or Vayikra Tzav Shmini Tazriya Mitzara Achimos, and you have a different acronym. Why Davka during Shovavim? And it's going to, you will see that as I was preparing Shir, Baruch Hashem, Hashem gave me the time to add this into my weekend roster of work. As you will see, why do we strengthen Dafka during this time, the Jewish home and Kedushas Habayis? This is not a halacha Shir at all, it's a hashkafa Shir, but the reason is because the enemy tries to destroy the Jewish home. Our answer to that is the strengthening of the Jewish home. As I sat down and as I continued to prepare Shir yesterday afternoon, thank you so much, it struck me as so interesting. I didn't realize this till midway through my preparation. Ve'el Shmos b'nei Yisrael haba'im Mitzrayim. This is Parak Aleph, Pasuk Aleph in the book of Shmos. These are the names of the children of Israel who came down to Egypt. Eis Yaakov Ish Uveso Ba'u. Yaakov, each man and his household came. So right away when you open, we're going to come back to this, but right away within the first pasuk of the book of Shmos is the secret to Jewish survival. Here we are, we're taking a journey, a very painful journey into very, very long, very difficult, very painful galus. It is the foreshadowing of all national galios that would follow. It is a prototype for all exiles. It was foreshadowed to Avram Avinu in the Bris Bein Habsarim and Perek Tasvav of the book of Bereishis. Avram is famously told, Yadoa teida ki ger ye'ezaracha ba'aretz lo lahem va'avadum ve'inum osam arbe me'oshana. There'll be a period of avdus, there'll be a period of inui, it will last for 400 years. We count from Leidas Yitzchak va'achrei chen yitzir b'chush gadol. So it's very nice, we will leave with great wealth, but we have to get through the period of avdus and the period of inui. And how will we survive? And what does the enemy Dafko want to root out? And why therefore do we work on strengthening the Kedushas Habayis and the Taharas Habayis and the Kochos Habayis Davka during this time? So with that as our introduction and our understanding specifically of why the acronym is for the beginning of Shmos and not Bereishis or Vayikra or Bamidbar or Devarim, the Ela Shmos B'nei Yisrael Habayim Mitzrayim. Let's just look at Perak Aleph. These are the names of the children of Israel who came down to Egypt. Yaakov, each man and his household came. We already know, I've said it many times in a plethora of my classes in different venues, that not one word in the Torah is an accident. And I found it so interesting that the word bias is really right there in the first pasuk of the book of Shmos. It never really struck me till Rebbetzin Fuchs invited me to give this shiur. And then the pesukim tell us the names of the Yaakov, sons who came, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Binyamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher. And all those who came out from the loins of Yaakov were 70 souls. And Yosef was in Egypt. Dayamas Yosef. Yosef died, V'chol Achav, and all the Shvatim died. Yosef actually died, of course, at the end of Bereishis. And Yaakov and his family also came down to Egypt at the end of Bereishis. So the Torah is giving you a little bit of a chazara here. The events that are recounted in the beginning of Parsha Shmos did not happen now. They already happened at the end of Bereishis. The last thing we read on Shabbos was, Yames Yosef, Ben Meiv Esther Shonim. We already know that Yosef died, but the Pasuk here tells us, not telling you a fact that Yosef died, because everybody knows that Yosef died, but it's telling you that with the death of Yosef and the death of the Shvatim, there is a change in the condition of exile. Vayames Yosef v'chol achav v'chol hadar hohu is not telling me l'maisa that Yosef died. If we just finished Parshas Bereishis and you said Sefer Bereishis and you said chazak, so you know vayames Yosef ben meyav esim shana vayichantu oso vayisem ba'arim b'mitzrayim. Of course Yosef died. Everybody knows that Yosef died. Chazak v'nischazek. So what does it mean? Yosef died and all his brothers and that whole generation. This is not telling me about physical death. Rather, it's telling me with the death of Yosef, there is a change in the Jewish condition in which they exist in this exile. Pasuk Zayin, Uvnei Yisrael paru vayishrutzu. We read this at the Haggadah Shel Pesach as well. Uvnei Yisrael paru, the children of Israel were fruitful. Vayishrutzu, they were teeming. Vayirbu, they were many. If you look at the Sharashim, paru is fruit. Yirbu is rov, reish beis. Vayatzmu, they were very, very strong. Bimod ma'od. Vayishrutzu from sheretz, teeming. Vatimalei ha'aretz ozam. They are no longer only living in the boundaries of Goshen. They have married. There are children and there are grandchildren and there are great-grandchildren. Now we move to the suburbs of this town. And now we have a shul in this town. And now we put a yeshiva over here. We're too many for Goshen. But it's a new generation. And with the new generation comes a new time. And here we shift from everything was so good for us in this galus to things are so bad for us in this galus. So Rashi quotes a famous machlokas, of course, between Rav and Shmuel. One says he was a Chadash Mamish, it was Mamish a new king. Why does he have the same name? Because Paro was just a term to denote the kingship of Egypt. It was not actually, maybe it was Ramses I, I don't know. Maybe it was Ramses II, I'm not a historian. Maybe it was Tutankhamun, right? That how you pronounce him? Am I pronouncing it right? King Tut, Tutankhamun, what? I know, I'm not talking about historically, I'm just using names. Historically, I have no idea who is when. This happens to be someone Ramses is here because that's one of the storage cities they built. But my point is that Paro is the name for the institution of the ruler. So one says, Rav and Shmuel, that he was Taka Mamish, a new king. And one said he was not a new king, but he made new laws. And how did this happen to us? It wasn't it good for us? And didn't they welcome us here with open arms? And of course, all of us, I'm sure, are thinking the same thing that I'm thinking, that this is a prototype for all Galios, not only for Galus and Shiba Mitzrayim, but our descent into exile follows a certain pattern. What is the first stage in the new laws that he makes? Vayomer al amo, hine am b'nei Yisrael rav v'atzum, starts to slander the Jews. The rhetoric against the Jews, the leaders who get up at the podium and get up at their, I don't know what they call it, church pews, and who get up at their groups and who slander the Jews. The b'nei Yisrael, they're rav, they're so many, atzumi menu, they're stronger than us. Hava nischak malo, let's be wise, let's be devious. Let's be sly against them. Pen yirba. There are going to be so many. All of a sudden, the Jews are no longer loyal to his host country. They will join with our enemies. They will stop being loyal citizens. The Jew will turn against us in our own land. The Jew will fight against us. The Allah min ha'aretz, according to Rashi, he will cause us to go up from the land. The Jew controls everything. The Jew will join with our enemies. He will take control of the government. He will cause us to leave our own land. Hitler's propaganda machine with Joseph Goebbels did not come from nowhere. It wasn't like he just imagined on his own. After this propaganda and in every, televised newscast, first they have a special broadcast, a special preview of how bad the Jews are, and they're taking over everything. And what comes next? What's sorry, Misim? Tax collectors. Now there's a special Jew tax. Now you have to pay special fines, so you no longer own your property. Your business is not yours. Your home is not yours. Your paintings are not yours. Your radio is not yours. Sorry, Misim Lomana Noso Bisivlosim. So now you have to pay special taxes for the right. We have financial oppression. So we move from changing of the times and a new leader who comes in. Next, we have propaganda and slander and rhetoric against the Jews who control everything. Who remembers that last spring, one of the congressmen, I think from Brooklyn, said that the Jews control the weather? You remember that? You could look up online. It was almost so pathetic that it's comical, but unfortunately, that's what they think. And then we have financial oppression. They start to take things away from us. You don't own what you think you own. And finally, slave labor. By even our emiskenos the power as pisom v'es Ramses. So perhaps one of the kings of this time, historically, I don't know, I'm not a historian, was King Ramses, but now they have us doing slave labor. And this is such an evocative pattern of galus. We come and we're welcomed by the host country and things are good for us. What? Repeats and repeats. And we're welcome. Then they needed Yosef. Yosef ruled for 80 years. Yosef was a charismatic, wonderful, wise and discerning leader, said Paro. And they were so happy to have Yosef. And then they were happy when Yaakov came. When Yaakov came, the famine stopped. And then times change, and they see that the Jew is taking over, and they start to increase their oppression of the Jews. That something peculiar happens with the Bnei Yisrael. Kasher Yanu Oso Kenir Bevekein Yifrots. Paro cannot figure out what is going on. The more they oppress us, what happens? The stronger we grow. How could it be that the more they oppress us, the stronger we grow? Vayakutsumu Pnei Bnei Yisrael. And they are disgusted before the children of Israel. And they work Israel with backbreaking labor. They embitter their lives. Vayimaru es chayim. We mara at the Korban Pesach. With hard work, with bricks and with mortar, with work in the field. And now Paro sees that he cannot accomplish what he wants to accomplish, which is to destroy Am Yisrael. So he moves to the last stage. So we have gone from a new king to slander and libel to socialist articles that blame the Jews for all the problems. They own all the buildings. This is happening today. They're taking away place for us to live. If they wouldn't have moved into this neighborhood, we wouldn't have shot them in the grocery store in the first place. They should never have come. I'm not making any of this up. You could all go look online and find all these postings. The director of education from New Jersey, the board of directors of education in New Jersey, came out with the most libelous, anti-Semitic post after Jersey City. She's the director of the board of education in the highest echelons of power. So they slander the Jews, and then there is financial oppression of the Jews, and then there is... Did I miss one? No slander, financial oppression, back-breaking labor, but something slave labor. But then something strange happens because Paro is not successful and he cannot squash the Jewish problem because the more they afflict us, the stronger we are. So he comes up with a new idea, which is the final stage, which is infanticide. And every galus follows the same pattern. So he calls the midwives of the Hebrews. One is Shifra and one is Pua. We spoke all about that yesterday at the Yang Azor of Wurmishir. If you're interested, you could go online and listen. Vayomer bialdechen is Ivrios, when you help the Hebrews to give birth, Ureisen alha of Nayim, from the word Evan. You see on the birthing stone, wherever they gave birth in the olden days, I don't know. In Benhu, if it is a boy, Vahamiten also, you shall kill him. V'imbasi v'chaya, if she is a girl, she shall live. So why did the Mialdos famously defy the order of Paro? They weren't afraid of Paro. They were not afraid of being thrown in jail. They weren't afraid for their own lives. The Torah tells us beferish. V'tirena ha-Mialdos es Elokim. They were God-fearing women. Because they had Yiras Shamayim, v'lo asu kasher diber aleihem, Paro melech Mitzrayim, they chose to defy the order of the king, v'tichayena es hayiladim. So not only did they leave them passively alive, they went out of their way to make sure that the baby boys would live. So the king of Egypt calls them, and he says, what are you doing? it's a miracle he actually gives them a chance to answer. What you think he might really do is just kill them, okay? He has a plan to annihilate the Jews. The next Yom Tov that's coming up, not in such a long time, exactly in 2 months, more or less. So why doesn't he even give them a chance to answer? It's part of one of the miracles of Egypt. So he says, Madua asisen esadavar hazel. What are you doing? Why have you done this thing? You kept the boys alive. What did I tell you to do? When you see on the birthing stone, the minute the child comes out from the mother's womb, the moment the child, so instead of saying mazel tov, it's a boy, or mazel tov, it's a girl, the minute it comes out, you shall break the neck of the child. The moment it comes out. Salvechik says, and the Lord is righteous in all his ways, commentary on the Kinos and Tisha B'Av, that one of the favorite methods of the killing of the babies by the Nazis is that they would take the baby, they would throw the baby against the cement wall and the brain matter would splatter against the wall. They would do this in front of the mothers and it would drip down the wall. Paro was no different. We are too used to the stories in Chumash to appreciate what we are learning. Rashi to Shemos 2:23 tells us, Vayamas Melech Mitzrayim, Vayi Bayamim Harabim Hayim, Vayamas Melech Mitzrayim, it's this week's parasha. It was in those great days, and the king of Egypt died, Vayenchu B'nei Yisrael min ha'avoda, Vayizaku V'atal Shavasim Elohim min ha'avoda. B'nei Yisrael are groaning and crying. Again, the king of Egypt died. How often does this king die? In the beginning of Perek Aleph, he dies. And then the Perek Beis, he dies. What's going on here? So Rashi tells us in 2:23, he was not dead. Nitzareya, he had Saras. It was no different. He would shech Jewish babies and bathe in their blood to cure his sarah. So he says to them, Yaldos, what are you doing? So they say, oh, you know, the Jewish woman, they're like animals. You know, the leopard and the cheetah and the elephant does not call the midwife. They were compared in Birkas Yaakov. Binyamin is a ze'ev and Gur Aryeh Yehuda. So they're like animals and they don't need us. And when we come there, they already give birth. So what should we do? It's not our fault. Vayitev Elohim lamiyaldos. The Elohim did good for the miyaldos. Vayarav ha'am. There's that word rove again. The people increased. Vayatzmu me'od. They're very strong. And it was that the midwives feared God. What's the next word? Isn't that unbelievable? What's the reward? Isn't that unbelievable? How did we begin? I mamish never realized these things, so I was asked to give a shovavim shiur on Thursday for today. Let me tell you pasuk aleph, perek aleph once again. These are the names of the children of Israel who came down to Egypt. Yaakov ish uveso. Kitov actually is a book called Ish Uveso. Yaakov, each man and his house came. Now, we just went through with a very, very nice, comprehensive, more than an overview, understanding Kol Masha Yiro La'avos Siman Labanim. Sometimes it means for good, and sometimes Rachmana Litzlana means not for good. This is a prototype for all exile, okay? Haman didn't come from nowhere, and Hitler didn't come from nowhere, and King Ferdinand and Isabella didn't come from nowhere, and Xeris Tach V'tat didn't come from nowhere. They came from somewhere. It's a prototype. And we have the defiance of the midwives because they are God-fearing. So God rewards them. So maybe he should give them a vacation day off. And maybe he should give them a lot of money. And maybe he should give them, I don't know, shadchanis of a beautiful bracelet and silver lachters. What does he reward them with? I'm going to read the pasuk in case some people didn't hear. Vayihi, and it was, okay, I'm right at the end of Perek Aleph, pasuk Chof Aleph. Vayihi, ki yaru hamiyaldos es Elokim, because the midwives feared God, and it's something that I've said before, you may have heard me say it before, you may remember it, the Rav Sham Sharfal Hirsch in Devarim Chof Hei Yud Zayin through Yates, by the parasha of Zechiras Amalek, which we read as Parsha Zachar. One of the things that we read there is Velo Yarei Elokim. Amalek did not fear God. So Rav Sham Shamfal Hirsch in his commentary on Torah points out that to fear God and to see God are the same shorash. Yeah. To see, Lirot, and to fear, Yira, are the same shorash. Rav Hirsch focuses very, very much on shorashim in his explanation and interpretation of Torah, and it makes perfect sense. Why did they fear God? Because they perceived, I don't literally mean they saw God, but they perceived the Ribbono Shel Olam in their life, and if you perceive that you are Shivisi Hashem Negdi Sami, then you fear God. You revere the Almighty. If you don't see him in your life, you have no Yerushalayim. But if you see him in your life, you have Yerushalayim. So it was, Ki yaru ha-miyaldos es Elokim, because the miyaldos fear God, vaya'as lahem batim. What is the reward for ensuring that the Bnei Yisrael, literally the boys of Israel, as the males were born, would not be killed but would be kept alive? That's the greatest reward you could imagine. Not a vacation day off, or not a laughter, or not, I don't know, Bloomingdale's $1,000 gift card that you wore won a Chinese auction. It would be nice, but not that. What is it? Vayas lohem batim, to bring your parak full circle. What are we talking about again? Once again, Jewish homes. Final pasuk of parak aleph, vayitzav par. So now par is desperate. Nothing is working, okay? The tax oppression is not working. The propaganda is not working. The backbreaking labor is not working. And even the infanticide is not working. Because the children of Israel keep growing. And it's something that is so miraculous. By definition, by Teva, we should not be. You know, I'm sure that you saw that amongst those who attended the Siyum Hashas were Holocaust survivors. Shatichu, that they should, Shayichu, they should live and be well. Maybe Shatichu also, they should live and be well. But we can't imagine, it's not fathomable. It's literally not fathomable. Kasher Yanu also Kain Yirba v'Kain Yifro. The more they afflict us, somehow the stronger and more we multiply. So Paro is now desperate. Vayatzav Paro l'chol Amar Lemor. So now Paro tells everybody. Kol Abena Yulad Hayar Tashlichu v'chol Habas Techayun. Any male born into the river. Who does he mean now? He doesn't even mean. He doesn't only mean Jewish babies. Who does he mean? Vayitzav Paro. Listen again. L'chol amo. He commands the Egyptian people. Kol haben hayulad. What does that mean? Even the Egyptian babies into the river. This is another stage, which we don't forget. What's the final stage? And you see it today, Yimach Shemam V'Zichrom, amongst the terrorists in the Middle East. That what? The mothers willingly send their own children if it means the decimation and destruction of Knesset Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. So this is actually not just a parenthetical commentary, but the last pasuk of Perek Av is a further descent. What is it? It's telling you that they lose value for? What do they do after Hashem Yirachim Aleinu? It should never be again, ever. Ever? What do they do in the past after suicide bombings and stabbings in the streets? They hand out candy and they celebrate. It's a very joyous thing to give up their life. There's no sanctity of life as long as it means the Jews will also be finished and killed. So Parak Aleph of Shemos is a very impactful and profound parak. But the amazing thing that emerges is the idea that it is sandwiched between the idea of the Jewish home. As Yaakov is coming down into Galus, the Ribbono Shel Olam tells him and tells us, it's not going to be so good here. Hashem appears to Yisrael b'maros laila, in night visions, and he says, you're going down to Egypt. Don't be afraid. I'll tira meredes Mitzrayim. Don't be afraid from going down to Egypt. I'll be with you. I will bring you back up. He tells them that the Galus is coming. But as we open up Sefer Shemos, if you want to know how you could survive the Galus, it must be Yaakov, Ish, Uveshobo. There is one way that we will be able to get through every Galus, and it is with the strength and the sanctity of Ish Ubeso. And as we close the Perek, and we've gone through the whole Perek, we are shown the most beautiful reward to the Miyaldos. What is the most beautiful reward to the Miyaldos? Vayas lohem batim. This is not an accident. Nothing in the Torah is an accident. The appearance of the word bias. What does Rashi say? Vayas lohem batim. So Rashi famously says, Bate kuhuna vilavia umachos. Who were the Miyaldos? Rashi has told us, Shifra and Pua, they are Yocheved and Miriam. Shifra is Yochaved and Miriam is Pua. And Rashi says here, what does it mean Hashem made for them batim? So he rewarded them. Bate kuhuna v'levia umachlus. Kuhuna and Levia came from which of those two women? Yocheved. Yocheved is the mother of Moshe and Aaron from the tribe of Levi. Bate kuhuna and Levia. And Malchus came from, who does Miriam marry?
Kalev.
Oh, very nice. Kalev. And what are they zocha to? Through Sheva Yehuda Malchus. Right? So Rashi says, Shakurim Batim, that they are called houses. Malchus comes from Miriam, Kuna, and Leviah from Yochaved. But on the basic Pashup Pshat, which you cannot ignore, the Pashup Pshat is that he rewarded them with strong Jewish homes. And it continues because it's so interesting. And then we move into Perek Beis, and who remembers the first Pasuk of Perek Beis? So say it again. Oh, Vayelech Ish, it doesn't say Vayelech Ish mi Levi. A man went from Levi, which would be very nice, and it would make a lot of sense. Vayelech Ish mi Sheve Levi, Vayelech Ish mi Levi. It doesn't name him. But the most important thing that you need to know is the institution of the Bayis. So what does Perek Beis Pasuk Av tell us? Vayelech Ish mi Beis Levi, Vayikach es Bas Levi. He understood that he was bringing the Jewish woman into his home. Rav Soloveitchik actually quotes a very interesting Medrash, and the Medrash says that every Shabbos around their tables, the Medrash says, Rav Soloveitchik quotes this, that every Shabbos around their tables, the Jews in Egypt would read from scrolls. Presumably, he says, the scrolls of Sefer Bereishis. The scroll of Sefer Bereishis, the story of the Avos and the Imahos. But imagine that perhaps they had some break from the slavery, that into this pit of Gehenim, in which their existence was enshrined, they sat down with their families in their homes, and they read from Sefer Bereishis to be mechazik themselves, that as the Avos founded the Beis Yisrael, so too they were going to continue to distinguish the Beis Yisrael. And based on this parak, we see Mamish, Behisha Amda, no, I'm sorry, Bechol Dar Vadar, Amdim Aleinu Lechaloseinu, Behisha Amda Lavoseinu Velanu. It is this that has stood for our forefathers on Asra. Bechol dor v'dor, amdi maleinu l'chazenu. Why do we read Yetzias Mitzrayim at the Pesach Seder? Besides the fact that it's what we're celebrating, Yetzias Mitzrayim, because it's a prototype. V'hisha amda lavoseinu. It is this that has stood for our forefathers and us. In each and every generation, they rise to destroy us. God save us. So you all know the famous V'hi. It's an acronym. I'm sure you're all aware of this. Vav is? Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. Hey is? Chamisha Chumshetar. Yod is? Aseres Adivros, and Aleph is? Hashem is Echad. Okay, so what has stood for our forefathers and us? Our tenacity to cling to Torah. Torah Sheba'al Peh, Shisha Sedrei Mishnah. Torah Shebichtav, Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Aseres Adivros, from which Rav Sa'adja Gaon is quoted by Rashi, and the Parshas Mishpatim proves how all mitzvos are derived from the Aseres Adivros. So all mitzvos are derived from the Aseres Adivros. And finally, the Nazar of Hashem is Echad. Rav Soloveitchik says something a little bit different that relates so beautifully to our Shia. The Rav says, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Avraham Avinu? What is your task, Avraham Avinu? Your task is a very simple one. Hashem says to Avram, Kaviyachal. There is no need for anything. There's no need for spreading my name, morality, norms. Hashem says to Avram, what do I want from you? To raise a family. Sara Ishtecha, Yoladas Techa Ben, Uvekarasa Shmo Yitzchak. When you think about it, what happened to the myriads, the tens of thousands of converts of Beis Avram? I don't know. We don't know what happened to them. That's what happened to them. The Rambam describes in the beginnings of Hilchos Ovdei Kochavim, it's an extensive biography, beautiful biography, of Avraham Avinu, but that wasn't Avraham Avinu's main task. What was the main task of Avraham Avinu? Exactly. Sara Ishtecha Yoladus Lecha Ben, V'karasa Ben is son, and Ben also means to build. Through this son, you will build. Build what? Build your home. Through your home, you will build what? Knesset Yisrael. The Karasa Shmo Yitzchak. Going back to the words of Soloveitchik. I want you to raise a family. How big should your family be? Not big. You, Sarah, the son. If you'll accomplish this leap, you will build the house. Beis Avraham. I'll be satisfied that the mission will be completed. So interesting that when Hashem gives the Torah later in the book of Shemos and Parashas Yisroel, Perek Yotes, what are the women known as right at the beginning? The Beis Kosomer. You all know this. V'ala Moshe Elohim. Yotes Pasugimel. But what are the women famously called? Elu Anashim Tagid Lam B'lashon Rakov. What are the women called? The Beis Yaakov. Many people, many nations, says Rav Soloveitchik, wanted simply to destroy the identity of the Jew. And, says the Rav, they are still trying. And I multiply that today. They are still trying, and we all know they're still trying. So far, we're still here. And then the Rav says, Vihisha amda la'avoseinu vilanu. What has made this victory possible? Quote, the Jewish home. Yaakov ish uveso ba'u. Vayitev elokim lamayaldos. Vayas lahem batim. This is the mission with which Avram Avinu was charged. This is the mission with every Jew is charged. Every Jew, says the Rav, is a little Avram, a little Sarah. The charge is to keep the Masorah alive, to carry on, to pass it on in the Jewish home. And the Rav says, that's the Vihi. And how poignant and relevant that when you sit down on Leil HaSeder, Vihi Gadata, Lebincha Bayom Hahu Lamer, Bavurza, Sasham Li Bitsesi Mitzrayim, Bincha Ben, three meanings of the root word. One is intuition. We spoke about it in class just this morning. Bina Yisayu Nasla Isha Yoser Mi Be'ish. One is son, and one is to build through the intuition of the woman, passed on in the raising of her child. She builds her home. Nothing Lashon Kosh is an accident. If you have three words, it's so geschmack. It's mamish like geschmack. If you have three words that seem to have no connection, son, S-O-N, not S-U-N. Intuition, or understanding, or however you want to translate bina, because it's not meant to be translated into English, and to build. So in English, those three words have anything to do with each other. One is a progeny, one is wisdom, and one is to build, like the contractor builds your home. But look at the godless of Lashon HaKodesh, Hashem's language, Beis Nun. It's teaching you a whole lesson. Who kept the babies alive in Egypt? The men or the women? Excuse me, I'm sorry. It was the Chochmas Nashim Bansa Besa. It was the Bina Yisneira, quoted Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, we quoted in class this morning, in his Emes LeYaakov, who teaches that Miriam had a higher degree of intuition than Amram. So when she said, why are you divorcing mother, she had a higher degree of intuition. Oh, we quoted yesterday also, and today, three times, it's worth saying it over. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, in his Emes LeYaakov, says, why did Amram give up and she did not give up? Miriam said, you're worse than Paro. Because he says she had a Bina Yisera. That's exactly what you see here. She used that Bina Yisera to keep the Ben alive, to build the home. I'm making this up? I'm not making this up. Should I write on the board, or you all understand how geschmack it is? She used her Bina Yisera, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky in his Emes LeYaakov, to keep the Ben, specifically who was under the threat of death, the sons, alive in order to build the Jewish home. Build, livnot et habayit, is to build home. As a reward, b'midash adam moded, moded din lo. So what did Hashem reward them with? Batim. It's a perfect reward. They don't want gashmias. They don't need a fancy laughter or a fancy menorah or Bloomingdale's. They don't need those things. What do they need? Vayas lahem batim. So what did these women with their bina, in keeping the banim alive, want? Live note as habayis that began with Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov uvan of Yardu Mitzrayim. But how did they come? Ish uveso. Hashem says, you want to survive galus? You know what the vihi is, says Rav Soloveitchik? Of course it's our dvekas to Torah. We just celebrated that in MetLife all over the world, not only in MetLife. I was watching yesterday. I took some time for myself yesterday. So I sat down on the couch. Yeah, thank you. A round of applause. So I sat down on the couch, and my daughter says, are you going to sleep? It's like 4 o'clock. I said, no. I said, I'm watching some of the Agoda, on the Agudas Yisrael Siyum HaShas. So I said, I want to watch some of the, I did not attend the Siyum HaShas. I was Baruch Hashem teaching Torah the whole day. So I said, I want to watch some of the video clip. And it was so moving, and it was so inspirational. You want to know how you're going to survive Galus? Of course, it's the tenacity and clinging to the Vihi, the Shisha Sijay Meshach, Hamisha Chim Shay Torah, Aseres HaDibros, and Shema Yisrael Hashem HaKadosh Hashem Echa. But without the Jewish home, you can't pass on the Torah. How many grandfathers, fathers, sons were at that Siyum HaShas? The Bina Yisera, oh, you see?
Three generations.
And it's the Bina of the woman, says Rav Yaakov, that allowed them to see farther than Amram, that gave them the courage to keep the Banim alive, that gave them the ability to leave note, Eswa, Beis Yisrael, and how did Hashem reward them? Vayas lahem batim, says the Rav. What made the victory of Vihisha Amda possible? The Jewish home. So you come to Shovavim, And you can't talk about building the Jewish home without understanding what the enemy wants to destroy, which is why it was so necessary for us, even though the clock is ticking fast, it was so necessary for us to go through the genocide that Paro implemented, which was the prototype for generations. I mean, it's exactly what Hitler did. Exactly what he did is in here in Perek Aleph. And Hitler also wanted to destroy the Jewish home. They took the mothers from the children. My grandmother, Allah al-Shalom, Beilat Siro Bas Rav Yoshua Asher Al Hashem, they took her 3-year-old, we have a picture of the child actually. They took her child, Rivka Bracha, Hashem Yikovdom, out of her arms on the platform, and the child went this way, and my grandmother went the other way. What did they want? Not only to destroy us, but to destroy the secret to our survival. What's the secret to our survival? The Jewish home. The bias. Yes, unity, but it starts where? In the bias. Why were they zochah to be the parents of the Redeemer? Because Amram understood what the koach of the survival of Knesset Yisrael is. Vayeinech ish mi beis Levi. He learned well that if he wants us to survive, you have to strengthen the Jewish home. And why now we understand, I hope, why we learn about strengthening the Jewish home, Taharas HaMishpacha, Kedushas HaBayis now, during Shovavim, because we begin with Shemos. But you know, Shemos Ve'erbo B'Shalach, like we said yesterday, that are the parashios of Shiva Mitzrayim, Miracles of Mitzrayim, and Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yisro Mishpatim, MetLife, all over the world, hundreds of thousands celebrating Torah. But sometimes it's Shovavim Tat. What's Tat? I said it right in the beginning. Truma Tetzava. What's Truma Tetzava? What's the Mishkan? For who? The Mishkan is building a bias for the Ribono Shel Olam. Ki Beisi, Hashem calls it a home. Beis Tefillah. Yekara L'chol Amim. The Ribono Shel Olam says that you need to build a bias. Avram, Sarah, the son. Through the intuition of the woman, as we've already proven based on the Shorashim, I'm not making any of this up. It's not possible to make it up. I can't make it up. Beis not. It's one Shorash for 3 words. But then Hashem says, now you need to build a different home. Beisi. Beis Tefillah. You need to build a home for God to reside amongst us. And that's why in Sefer Shemos you have Binyan HaMishkan. Binyan HaMishkan makes sense logically to be in Vayikra. Vayikra is Torah's Kohanim. So before you tell me about the Korbanos that I should bring in Perek Aleph of Vayikra, you should tell me about the house that I should build for God. What is it doing? And say for HaGeulah, does it make sense that Truma Tetzava Ketisa Vayakob Akudet, all about Binyan HaMishkan, are in this book of redemption? What do they have to do with redemption? Allah, if we understand that the whole book is based on the bias, it's in the first Pasuk of Shemos. It's a secret to our survival. Then we understand why the Torah ends with Sefer Shemos with Binyan HaMishkan. Because in order to have the full circle complete, you need to build a home, Avram, Sarah, and the son, and you need to build a home for God. And I'm going to tell you something so cool. Oh, this is so amazing. Thank you, Hashem. I did not realize in my sheer preparation, but as I'm talking, Hashem put in my mind to tell you something amazing. Are you ready? This is really amazing. It's crazy. Last pasuk of the book of Shemos. Ki anan Hashem al mishkan yomam ve'esh tia laila bo le'enei kol beis Yisrael. The book of Shemos begins with telling me about Yaakov Ish Uveso. If you want to survive Galus, you must strengthen the Jewish home. Shovavim are the weeks that we dafka have shiurim and review the halachos to strengthen not only Kedushas Habayis, not only Taharas Habayis, but Shalom Bayis. And how does Shemos end the way it began? Ki anan Hashem ala Mishkan, after you build the house for Hashem. You've spent all these months building the house for God, collecting and donating and craftsmen and weaving and building and planting. Zoreya, Soveya, Bishol, Ki Anan Hashem Ala Mishkan Yomam. It symbolizes that God likes the home you built for him. The Eish Tiyah Laila Bo, Fire by night, cloud by day. Le'ene, could say le'ene kol b'nei Yisrael. It could say le'ene kol Yisrael. Le'ene kol base. You have achieved the greatest accomplishment. The secret to our survival is to ensure the Jewish realm. And I want to share something so interesting. Someone who comes, I always like to say B'Shem Omro. So Esther Edelman started coming to Monday Night Cuss in Queens a number of months ago, and she shared this with me. She said she doesn't remember where she heard it, but she said she did not make it up. It's very cool. Mishkan, she told me. I went back to find this email yesterday and I was preparing. She told me this a couple of months ago. I thought it was very interesting and it stuck, and I think it ties in so beautifully to the Shir. I even emailed her yesterday to say, do you remember whose name you heard this in? And she didn't reply, which means she probably doesn't remember. But here we go. Mishkan, she says, is an acronym for the four basic household items. Mita. Should I write it? I feel like a teacher when I write on the board. Mishkan, Mita, Shin, Shulchan, Chaf, Kise, Nun, Ner. It's teaching you. I asked her, unfortunately, she didn't remember, but I'm telling you my source. Should I write it? Yeah. I'm writing the Nun, not as an Ender Nun, just because it's going to stand for a word, okay? Mita is bed. Shulchan is table, kise is chair, and ner is candle. Ner, by the way, in the home represents shalom bayis. So the four basic items that is needed in a Jewish home: you need a bed, you need a mita, you need the shulchan, you need a kise, and the ner represents shalom bayis. Furthermore, you could even say that each thing represents a different part of our avodas Hashem. Mita represents the kedusha between a husband and a wife. Shulchan represents hachlesos orchim and Torah, and physical sustenance without which we would be dead. Kise represents you offer your chair. Yukachna ma'amayim racha tzuragcham hishanu tachas ha'eis. Kise is where the family sits together. They welcome the guests. You learn Torah in the kise, and the ner finally represents shalom bayis. So you build a home for God, but don't forget the four basic components that go into building the Jewish home. So most, the entire Sefer is sandwiched between Yaakov Ishu Beso and Le'enei Kol Beis Yisrael. So now, let me tell you, as we start to come to the end of our time, how are we doing? It's amazing. It's mamish amazing. Torah is amazing. I'm really asked to speak on Kavod. So when I sent out the notice on Thursday saying I was speaking on Kavod, so someone said, what does that mean? So I said, I'm not sure yet. I was just given the topic. It was Thursday. And Shabbos is coming. I said, but we're going to have a very nice year. Oh. It ties in exactly. Here we go. The Mialdos saved the babies. With their Bina Yisera, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. They saved the Banim. And they were Zoha to Binyan Bayis and Binyan Mishkan, ultimately. I learned many years ago, I don't know how many years ago because I was not teaching yet, so I'm talking about a long time ago, from Debbie Greenblatt. She said that kavod really means neshama. Neshama. She quoted a pasuk so many years ago. I wasn't teaching, so this is like really a long time ago, okay? But Debbie said that she quoted specifically from Kapitel Ches of Tehillim, chapter 8 of Tehillim. Ma enosh ki tizkerenu. What is man that you remember him, God? Like, man is nothing. Man is so insignificant. Why does Ribbono Shel Olam even remember us? Think of one person walking on earth from the vantage point of outer space. What's that one person from the vantage point of outer space? Less than insignificant, nothing. Ma enosh ki tizkerenu. King David wonders, what is man that you remember him? Uven Adam and the son of man ki tifkedenu, that you even take an accounting of him. Vatachzirehu me'at me'elokim. And nevertheless, even though man is so insignificant, a man is like, one man is nothing. On the one hand, anochi ofer ve'efer, says Avraham Avinu. V'nachnu ma, says Moshe and Aaron, man is nothing. On the other hand, man is so great, vatachzirehu me'at me'elokim. He's so great that he could reach the highest heights of spirituality. What's the next word to remember? Who said? Oh, the kavod v'hadar te'atrehu. With kavod, I'm not translating it on purpose. Oh, very good. You could look it up. That's also valid. Good. I also looked it up to prepare shir. The kavod. You know, my daughter, in one of her years of school, as she was older, studying for midterms, she was very overwhelmed. I have to know every Rashi, and I forget how many prakim. I said, you know, Tamar, it's okay. Take a deep breath. I'm a teacher. You know what happens if I don't know Pasuk or Rashi? I look I say, it's not the measure of who you will be as a Bas Yisrael if you can memorize every Rashi in 7 Prakim. Don't be so upset. Please don't cry. You're going to do your best effort. You're going to do your status. And if you need to look it up, you're going to look it up. It's okay. So I also looked it up to prepare Shir, like Robinson Fuchs. And you're right. The Kavod Vahador Ta'atreyu. But I'm not translating Kavod on purpose. Kavod, I'm not translating. And Hadar, glory, even though it's hard to translate anything from Lashon HaKodesh into English, Ta'atreyu, you crowned him. Atara, you crown men. So on the one hand, King David says, Kapitol Ches Pasuk, hey, man is nothing. On the other hand, man is everything. I'm a little bit less than godly, a little bit less than the malachim. And I am crowned with glory and kavod. What is kavod? Said Debi, neshama. On the pshasha pshat, it means honor. Kavod, to give honor to somebody. But Debi said it means neshama. So how do I want to relate the topic specifically of strengthening kavod bias during this time of Shovim? Not only building the homes, but strengthening the kavod in the bias. How did the Miyaldos accomplish what they accomplished? They saved Knesset Yisrael. Don't take away from what they did. These two women saved Knesset Yisrael. They saw the neshama Eloki in every Jewish soul. Only if we see the kavod, the neshama, not only am I godly, Vayivre Elokim Esa Adam B'Tzalmo, B'Tzalm Elokim Bara Oso, 127, Zachor Nekeva Bara Oso. Not only did Hashem create me, sometimes we're so quick to see the flaws in others and see the perfection in ourselves. But if I see the kavod in others, it means I recognize that Debbie the neshama. And once I recognize the neshama, I focus on the godliness within. And then, of course, that person is worth saving. And I don't mean in our day and time, Baruch Hashem, we are not faced with such nesonos as Shifra and Pua. But we have a nisayon to see the kavod and those around us. I heard Rav Shai Schechter, I don't remember what I heard him say, let's hear. But he said a very powerful story. There was a family, they were welcoming this very chashuv guest for Shabbos. The man went to shul. The mother stayed home with the children. And the men come home from shul. And they have this chashuv. They're doing achsanya for, tzaddik balayir. And they come home from shul. And the table's sort of set, but not completely set. And there are two challahs on the challah board. And there's no challah cover. And the Baal Bais is very embarrassed. And he says to his wife, where's the challah cover? How could you not cover up the challahs? He's embarrassed. He goes into the kitchen. He says, can I please talk to you? But the guest can't help but overhear. Has there no challah cover? The house is imperfect. Tzadik balayir. Where's ochata achsanya? How could you embarrass the challahs? So the tzadik says, how ironic. Why do you cover the challahs so they shouldn't be embarrassed that kiddush is being made? Says the tzadik to the Baal Bais, do you really think the challahs are embarrassed? We eat. I know it's a mitzvah. I baked mine yesterday, Baruch Hashem. That's when I had time. Wheat, flour turns into flour. Wheat turns into flour. Some sugar, honey, whatever your exact recipe, oil, salt. You take challah, you made it into a davar mitzvah. It's beautiful. You think the challah's embarrassed? You know why we have this halacha? To learn not to embarrass people in your home. So you're screaming at your wife that the challah isn't covered because the challah is embarrassed. What are you doing? You think the challah cares that kiddush is being made first? It's a musar haskel. Don't embarrass. Have kavod. See the neshama. The midwives were only successful because they recognized that every Jewish child's neshama is so precious, it's worth putting their lives on the line. It's worth putting their feelings on the line. It's worth putting themselves on the line in order to save the neshama. The kavod v'hadar te'atreyu. If the Ribbono Shel Olam invests each one of us with the honor of a neshama, it's to teach us not only that we're important, even from the vantage point of outer space, we're nothing. But it's to remind us to see the neshama within. And only because the miyaldos appreciated kol amatzil nefesh echas me Yisrael Ki'ilu hitzil olam male. Whoever saves even one soul in Israel, it is as if he saves a whole entire world. They saved the whole entire world. So what is the greatest reward for kavod? What motivated the midwives was actually kavod bias. It wasn't just binyan bias. It was a lesson to us also. It's to recognize the kavod, the neshama. Sometimes the people in our house please us, and sometimes they might annoy us. Sometimes things are done the way we want, and sometimes things are not done the way we want. Sometimes it works out, and sometimes it doesn't work out. But if you're building the bias with which Sefer Shemos begins, Eish Shemos b'nei Yisrael b'ayim Mitzrayimah, Yaakov Ish, Eis Yaakov Ish, Uveso Baal. And you want to get to the Geula, which is to finally bring the Ribono Shel Olam into your house by building the Mishkan, Mita, Shulchan, Mishkan, Kisei Ner, because that's the ultimate Geula, to have God reside in the home that you build. And therefore, Sefer Shemos ends with the word bias, almost. Ki Anan Hashem Olam Mishkan. You want God's presence to be in your Mishkan, in your home, on your Mita, in your Shulchan, on your Kisei. The light of God shining through your nair, Eishtia Leidabo Le'ene, called Beis Yisrael. The bias is the sandwiching, is the bookends of the whole book of Shemos. The key to success is seeing the kavod vahadar to atrehu. If it's cleaned exactly the way I asked the kids to clean, or not cleaned exactly the way I asked the kids to clean, if the grocery that came home from the supermarket is exactly correct, or maybe it's not exactly correct. I'm not saying you don't have to deal with it. It has to be dealt with. It has to be dealt with by seeing the kavod. And if I see the kavod, I ensure the salvation of Knesset Yisrael, like Shifra and Pua. And I want to point out one more thing about Shorashim. Talking about Shorashim, kavod is also kaved. Heavy. Something is heavy. I don't have time for questions. I'm going to take it after the shiur, please. Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much. It's good you interrupted me. Oh, your name's Yochaved? So this shiur is like, very mean. Bishvili nivra ha'olam. Wow. Achav chaya lomar bishvili nivra ha'olam. In fact, I think it's on the same Amud of Gemara as whoever saves a life is like he saves the whole world. Sanhedrin lamed zayin aleph. So very nice. Thank you for interrupting me. The shorish of Yochaved is beautiful. Kaved or kavod. My last nakuda was that the shorish of giving kavod is also the same shorish as kaved. Kaved means something heavy or weighty. When you see the distinction, the weightiness, the heaviness in the other person, when you realize not only are you important, but that person is important. When you see the neshama, the kavod, the distinction and the heaviness within, you will go to great lengths to save what the Ummah Sa'olam want to destroy. They want to destroy the Jewish bias. Our answer is, with our Bina Yisera, we will strengthen the Banim, we will build the Jewish bias, because that's the ultimate Geula Le'enei call, Beis Yisrael. So Alavai, the Ribbono Shel Olam should bench us with the clarity to build what we are striving to build as we strengthen ourselves during Shovavim. Thank you.